This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 10th, 2022. Palm Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I forward a video message this past week to the members of the congregation from our bishop. Bishop Lopes, the whole thing was good, great. There was one point that he made that really stood out to me, and that is the point that we should all take to heart, and that is the Holy Week, the liturgical presentations that go on during Holy Week. Bishop Lopes said, don't just go and watch, just don't go and listen, go and participate in Holy Week. A lot of people think participation is watching, is listening. It's not. It is doing. It is a response to what in which we are engaged. Today, Palm Sunday, it is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which is amazing because what was the triumph going to be? The triumph was going to be our Lord's cross. He did not enter Jerusalem to hear Hosanna in the highest and have people worship him as the king of Israel. He's the king of all creation. There's a big deal about being king of Israel. He's God Almighty himself. He entered Jerusalem to endure the cross. We should enter Holy Week enduring, in a sense, what he endured. But it's got to be outward. This nonsense that you hear people, oh, if my faith is in my heart, if I don't see it on the outside, it's not in there. You can't judge me. Yes, I can. Our Lord says, by their fruits, you will know them. You will know them by, well, how can you know their heart? You're not the searcher of heart. Only God can do that. We have to see fruit. The Holy Spirit knows that. The Holy Spirit knows that, and he communicates that to us. The second reading today. How familiar a verse. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. It doesn't say in the name of Jesus, everybody should be excited for what he did for you. It doesn't say that in the name of Jesus, you should feel some visceral emotion that you within you. It says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. An outward manifestation, an outward confession that Jesus Christ is God. There are some things that are liturgical form. And they vary from place to place according to custom. At the end of the day, there are some things like that. But there are other things that we do in worship that we do because of necessity, of absolute demand on the part of God. Bowing the knee is one of them. Bowing the knee, let's focus on that as a liturgical. That is not a liturgical form. That is an expression, a confession of our theology. What is theology? We hear that word all the time. What is theology? It is our systematic understanding of who God is. Who is God? It is Jesus Christ. That name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. We bow the knee because we confess Christ as God. This is what, not everybody kneels anymore. Hold that thought. Not everybody kneels anymore. Is that a big a deal? It is a deal. It is the deal. It is huge deal. 70% of people don't believe that Jesus is really present in the Eucharist. Why? Because it's not presented that way. No one outwardly sees our Lord presented as if it is God on the altar. Our response to God being on the altar, if he is really God, is to bend the knee. Our Lord Jesus claims to be God, contrary to what all kinds of people say. Before Abraham was, I am. Not before Abraham, I was too. that he was just at that time claiming to be somebody hundreds of years old. No. Before Abraham was, I am, using the title of God that God used from the burning bush. Philip asked him, Lord, show us the Father and it will suffice. Our Lord's response, Philip, have you been so long with me? Do you not know that I and the Father are one? I am God, Philip. I and the Father are the same in essence. Jesus claims that. These words from Philippians chapter 2, they're a repetition of Isaiah 45. The Holy Spirit speaking through the prophet. God speaking through the prophet. I am God and there is no other. For every knee shall be bowed to me and every tongue shall confess. That's Isaiah 45. That's Old Testament stuff. And we have it presented. This one, Jesus, is that God. Because God says there is no other. So it's not like I'm God and you can bow the knee to me. And then there's going to come Jesus. He explicitly says there is no other. He's God. Jesus Christ. Jesus comes in not to reign in Israel, not to kick the Roman legions out of the Middle East. He came to die on the cross because the cross is a sign of God's true presence with us. That was the culmination because Jesus had done a bunch of miracles. He'd raised people from the dead. He did. Until the cross, he never showed that he could raise himself from the dead. There is only one that has power over death, and that's God. And when Jesus overcomes death, the cross is the sure sign, the true presence of God has been here. God is no longer an abstraction. God is no longer subjective. God is no longer a story. God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ put a face on God. He is the true presence. If he is the true presence, if he is truly God, then we have to outwardly manifest that true presence, and that's kneeling. It is kneeling. Kneeling is a true demonstration that we believe that Jesus Christ is God, because God is the only one who deserves. God is the only one who can be knelt before. You kneel before anything else, that's idolatry. God is the only one worthy of having the knee bent to him, and this is our Lord Jesus Christ. Pope Benedict XVI says this about kneeling, addressing this particular passage. He said, here, the bodily gesture attains the status of a confession of faith in Christ. Words cannot replace such a confession. You know, when people see angels in the Old Testament, or even in the New Testament, what happens? They fall on their face. What do the angels always say? Get up. Get up. I'm a fellow servant. God is only worthy of worship, and we are told by the Holy Spirit that when God is present before us, we bend the knee. St. Luke, he uses a term for kneeling for Christians. The Greek is not used anywhere else ever. It's not in classical Greek. It's not in Greek religious stuff. It is specifically for Christians bowing the knee to our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the history of the church, kneeling is the consummate confession as to your obedience, submission, veneration, reverence, worship of God in Christ Jesus. St. Eusebius, he wrote a history of the church. History of the church, I would highly suggest it if you're a reader. It's great. It really is. It's readable. It's not too academic. One of the points that he makes, when he talks about the early church, Church of Jerusalem, St. James is over the Church of Jerusalem. And he talks about St. James' piety, all the good things that he had done to people. But he makes this emphasis on something about St. James that almost sounds repugnant. If you look at it, he mentions how deformed his knees were by calluses. He's like, what does that have to do with anything, that his knees were deformed? He mentions that because of how off that was the result, the consequence of St. James being on his knees in prayer. He makes that emphasis. This is the this is piety, folks. Yeah, he did a lot of good things. Yeah, he taught a lot of good things. Yeah, he wrote some stuff. But the consummate presentation of his faithfulness was that his knees were deformed by calluses from being on them so long. the antithesis of that. Back in the days of the Desert Fathers, one Abba Apollos, he was one of the early church Desert Fathers. He was beset by a demon. And demons are spiritual beings, but they will manifest themselves to us to scare us. They can be shadows, they can be this, that, or the other thing. Abba Apollos was beset by these horrendous noises and horrendous visions that he had of this demon. Almost made him lose his faith, but he persevered in prayer. He would put himself before the Blessed Virgin and our Lord, and he overcame. Our Lord, in reward for this, basically threw the gauntlet at Satan and said, okay, you want to mess with him and make him something that you're not, a threat to him? Show him how you really are. So Abba Apollos got a vision of Satan as he really is. We got, something can hurt you. It's got big muscles and fangs and all this kind of stuff. Abba Apollos was appalled at what he saw because he said he looked black as pitch and he was very ugly with frighteningly thin limbs, There are no muscles there. And he can't do it. This is a pathetic being. But most strikingly, he had no knees. That was a manifestation of the diabolical. The diabolical, they cannot bend the knee to Christ. They will not bend the knee to Christ. The inability to kneel has always been viewed as a church as the very essence of the diabolical. This vision. He had no knees. To deny kneeling for whatever reason, to make an excuse against kneeling, the essence of the diabolical. We live in a day and age when they're building Catholic churches that don't have kneelers. Now, I would think that was super awesome if the people were kneeling on the floor. They're not. There's not kneelers because they don't kneel. All kind of excuses. Well, we shouldn't kneel because not everybody can kneel. Not everybody can walk. Not everybody can hear. Not everybody can see. That doesn't stop us from doing things like talking. Well, you shouldn't give a homily because not everybody can hear. It's a ridiculous excuse. Not everybody can kneel. I mean, it's penitential for some of us, but if you can't, don't. Most people can. And if you can, you need to. It is of the essence of piety. It is the confession of our understanding that Jesus Christ is God. All kind of excuses. Oh, this, that, or that. Well, it's alien to Western culture. Pope Benedict XVI addresses that. I quote, "It may well be said that kneeling is alien to our culture, insofar as it is a culture that has turned away from the faith and no longer knows the one before whom kneeling is right, indeed the intrinsically necessary gesture." Pope Benedict XVI, the Holy Father, says that kneeling before Christ in the Eucharist, in our worship, is intrinsically necessary. So these places where it's not, it applies. Father said that they've lost the faith. I didn't. Well, I did, repeating Pope Benedict XVI. This is reality. How prideful is that? Oh, we don't kneel. That's obvious. Look at what's going on around us. They'll do all other kind of goofy stuff that has nothing to do with the faith. They clap. They throw peace signs at one another. They shake hands. They have liturgical dance, none of which has ever been an element of Christian worship. They do that, but kneeling is alien to our culture. Kneeling is an intrinsic necessity of our faith. You don't like to kneel, you don't truly believe that Jesus Christ is God. You come to the altar and you don't kneel, you don't truly believe that Jesus Christ is present under the forms of bread and wine. That's the reality. And we're reaching a point where we need to start teaching people that. As many feathers as may be ruffled, this is why we're having the problems that we do now, is because we don't bend the knee. The more we bend the knee, the more God will bless, because it's a confession of our faith in him and who he is. we obviously have knees not only to walk, but for a theological purpose. Let's use them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.